From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, April 15th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Democrats on the legislature's Budget Writing Committee reversed course on several controversial funding decisions on Monday as lawmakers race to complete their work for the year. Kevin Miller has more.
Tensions were high at the State House last week after Democrats on the Appropriations and Financial Affairs Committee endorsed a budget that would have resulted in less money for highway repairs, dairy farm subsidies, and a tax exemption for pensioners. But they restored that funding on Monday. The budget change package also includes an additional $76 million for affordable and emergency housing programs, $26 million for nursing homes, and nearly $20 million to increase mental and public health services. Committee co-chair Representative Melanie Sachs of Freeport, who came under heavy criticism last week from Republicans for the earlier changes, said she was proud of the end result.
This is a supplemental budget, yet it has some amazing pieces. And I really want to stress to people that much of this was good collaboration across. We just, as I always say, reasonable people disagree. The majority budget is balanced fiscally and hopefully addresses those needs that need to be done right now.
The bill now goes to the full House and Senate. A spokesman for Governor Janet Mills said she welcomes many of Monday's changes, but remains concerned about the long-term sustainability of some of the additional spending. Meanwhile, the House is slated to vote on a separate bill that passed the Senate last week, proposing roughly $100 million for storm relief, nursing homes, and other initiatives. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Meanwhile, Governor Mills said on Monday that she will allow a national popular vote bill to become law without her signature. The bill will add Maine to the growing coalition of states that have pledged to award their electoral college votes to whichever presidential candidate wins the popular vote nationwide. The National Popular Vote Compact would only take effect when participating states account for at least 270 electoral votes, which is the minimum needed to win the presidency. Even with Maine's participation, the compact is still 61 electors short of that margin. In a statement, Mills said she understands concerns that candidates might pay less attention to smaller rural states like Maine in a popular vote scenario, but Mills added that, quote, the person who wins the most votes should become the president. Two of the past four presidents, George W. Bush and Donald Trump, won the White House despite not receiving the popular vote. The Maine legislature will have final say over motor vehicle emission standards under a new law signed by Governor Mills. The measure was prompted by a recent effort from environmental groups calling on Maine to adopt so-called clean car standards, which would have required a steady increase in the percentage of electric vehicles sold in the state. Advocates petitioned the Maine Board of Environmental Protection to adopt the rules, saying that they were an important step towards reducing carbon emissions. But the BEP rejected the proposal earlier this year, pointing to issues such as costs and effects on the regional grid. The new law will now make such requirements major substantive rules, meaning that lawmakers will ultimately need to approve any changes moving forward. As Maine continues working to uncover PFAS contamination and treat drinking water, a UN expert says contamination in North Carolina may be considered a human rights violation. Marcos Orellana, UN Special Rapporteur on Toxics and Human Rights, says the companies discharging PFAS are disregarding the rights and wellness of citizens. And he says the case of North Carolina is just one example of a growing global problem.
The point I would highlight is that the situation in North Carolina, in a way, is exemplary, is a paradigmatic of a much broader problem that has nationwide and global proportions and that needs to be tackled.
Orellana, at an environmental working group press conference, says he cannot speak to areas of contamination in other parts of the country, as the U.S. hasn't been contacted to investigate by other communities. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recently announced much tougher restrictions on several PFAS chemicals, and Maine agencies are in the process of integrating the new standards. L.L. Bean is laying off employees as it cuts back hours at its call center. The Freeport-based retailer announced the change last week, saying that call center hours, which have been from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., would be reduced to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. as a response to fewer customer calls. L.L. Bean says the move is a, quote, strategic response to long-term customer trends and not part of any larger cuts. A spokesperson says that a large majority of the more than 500 employees in the call center won't be affected and that the company is offering severance, outplacement services, and retiree benefits to staff who are eligible. A bilingual child care center in Washington County is set to expand, thanks in part to more than $800,000 in federal funding announced on Monday. Reidos de Sol, Spanish for Little Sunbeams, is a bilingual child care center in Millbridge. It's run by Mano on Mano, an organization that supports Downeast farmworker communities. The funding will help pay for a new building, allowing the center to increase its capacity to 64 students, more than doubling its current capacity. The funding boost comes from a congressional appropriations package and was announced on Monday by Senator Angus King's office. In a statement, King called the planned expansion a boon to the region's workforce because affordable child care is, quote, one of the most pressing needs for working families. St. Mary's Health System in Lewiston is closing its cancer practice as of July 1st. A spokesperson for Covenant Health, St. Mary's parent company, says that the hospital is ending a joint venture with MaineHealth to provide oncology care and that those providers will relocate to Midcoast Hospital in Brunswick. St. Mary says it doesn't anticipate other changes to services under its joint venture with MaineHealth, and it will help current oncology patients transition to other providers. On Tuesday night, the Belfast City Council will hold a public hearing to allow residents to weigh in on the city's move to take a parcel of intertidal land by eminent domain and nullify a conservation easement on that property. The land in question has been sought for construction of a controversial fish farming operation. A court has since ruled that residents Jeffrey Mabee and Judith Grace own the intertidal land and that the easement prohibiting industrial development there remains intact. Also at issue is whether the land the city took was outside of its municipal boundaries. Jill Howell is the president of Upstream Watch, a project opponent.
The outcome that we want to see is the vacating of this order. Anything else, Upstream would still have concerns and would still pursue litigation.
Belfast Mayor Eric Sanders says councillors will listen to the presentation and the public at the hearing and then make a decision to amend or vacate the order. The city has also authorized a new survey of the intertidal land to confirm where the city's municipal boundaries end. And that's today's Maine news. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, we'll bring you the latest on the war in Gaza. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.